Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And we're glad you could join us for today. Our lesson is about a woman called Margaret E. Knight. We'll be learning all about her over the next couple of days. She was a very influential woman. We're going to be learning about a woman whose ingenuity still affects our lives today. When I think of influential women, I think about my mom. But of course, you don't know my mom. I know my mom. She's not a famous historical person. But what about famous historical people who affected society? Nathaniel, can you think of any other famous influential women?
Well, of course, there have been a lot of them, but I'm pretty interested in acting, so I thought of Katharine Hepburn, who is maybe one of movie's most famous actresses, and I think the only actor, male or female, to ever win 4 Oscars.
All right, yes, she was pretty influential in the filming industry, in the acting industry. Carolyn, who do you think of when you think of influential women?
I think of Eleanor Roosevelt, who was married to a U.S. president, and she ended up working for the United Nations and trying to promote human rights around the world.
That's right. She was pretty influential. And you guys, I'm sure you guys are also thinking about someone else who's very influential in our lives. Our boss, Doris Brome, is a very influential woman. Of course, she's not historical. She's still around. She's wonderful. She's influencing many lives today through her English teaching and through Studio Classroom. Well, let's get started with our first reading for today.
Margaret E. Knight. Meet a woman whose ingenuity still affects our lives today. No one could have predicted that a baby girl born on February 14, 1838, in the cold northern state of Maine, would revolutionize the world. Yet, that is what Margaret Knight did. She was not wealthy, received little education, and lived at a time when women were not expected to accomplish much. Nevertheless, Knight's intelligence, effort, and persistence enabled her to invent many devices with great significance for her own time and for our lives today.
Hello, listeners. This is your word, Lady Ellen. Is it possible for one person to make a difference in the world? It sure is. In today's article, we'll find out how one woman did just that. First, let's look at our key words. Ingenuity. Ingenuity is a noun. Everyone was very impressed by the engineer's ingenuity. Revolutionize. Revolutionize is a verb. Paul hopes his idea will revolutionize the way marketing is done. Persistence. Persistence is a noun. Christine worked on writing her book for years, but her persistence paid off when it became popular. Component. Component is a noun. To fix my computer, the technician must order one component from a factory in Japan. Our more information word is textile mill. Textile mill is a noun. Do you have what it takes to change the world? Think about that as we get started with our article.
All right, so we're learning all about Margaret E. Knight today. As you can see right here at the very beginning, meet a woman whose ingenuity still affects our lives today. And right away, you see that word from the word bank. It is ingenuity. Ingenuity. Carolyn, what does this word mean?
Well, if someone has ingenuity, it means that they're able to think of a lot of really good new ideas. So, Nathaniel, can you think of an example?
Oh, I think that most people that are inventors are people of ingenuity because they can think about how to fix something maybe in a new way.
That's right. They can think of how to fix something in a new way. Maybe it's combining creativity with effectiveness and applying it to real life and really changing the world that you live in. Do you have ingenuity? It makes me think of the word ingenious. If you think of someone who is a genius, they are ingenious. They're really creative and they can come up with things that can help other people really quickly. Creativity, ingenuity. While Margaret E. Knight was a person of ingenuity, what do we find out about her here, Carolyn?
Well, we see that she still affects our lives today and that no one could have predicted that a baby girl born on February 14th, 1838, in the cold northern state of Maine, would revolutionize the world. And here we have another key word, revolutionize. Now, Gabe, what is revolutionize?
Well, if you revolutionize something, it's not an easy task. I don't think any one person can really revolutionize something. But if you revolutionize something, that means you are making it new. You are changing something, hopefully for the better. This makes me think of things like the American Revolution or the French Revolution, where societies and cultures were changed for the better. A revolution, a complete change. How else can you revolutionize something, Nathaniel?
Well, one simple idea can revolution a lot of different kinds of things. One simple idea, maybe in the case of Margaret Knight, could revolutionize an industry.
All right, so she revolutionized an industry or different industries. And we see here that no one could have predicted that a baby girl born on February 14th in 1838. That was a long time ago, and it was a long time ago. I meant a long time ago. And it was a time when girls were not as highly esteemed as they are now. So no one could have predicted. That's why it starts out like this. You can't predict that a girl would have made such a big difference in the world. Yet we continue. That is what Margaret Knight did. It says that she was not wealthy, she received little education, and lived at a time when women were not expected to accomplish much. So, they were not expected to accomplish much. They were not very well educated. What else do we know about women at this time, Nathaniel?
Well, they just really did not have a lot of privileges. At this time, they did not even have the right to vote. That would actually come much later.
All right, so they didn't have the right to vote. They couldn't accomplish much, or people didn't think that they could accomplish much. Of course, Margaret E. Knight would prove a lot of people wrong. Right now, it's time for us to continue learning something interesting with Steve and Ken in the Information Cloud.
What would you do if you had a little money saved up? Steve, what would you do?
I would buy a little house near the ocean. Ken, since you asked me what I'd do with a little money, why don't we talk about the difference between a little money and little money?
Okay, Steve. If I have a little money saved up, I'm happy with how much money I have. But if I say I have little money saved, I'm saying I barely have any money, and I'm not happy with how much money I have.
Notice the difference, friends. It's in the attitude. In fact, little money and a little money could even be exactly the same amount of money. The difference is little has a negative connotation, and a little has a much more positive connotation.
While we're on the subject, why don't we also talk about the difference between few and a few?
Which is very similar. If you say, I met a few people at the party, it's positive. It implies you are happy about the number of people you met. But if you say, I met few people at the party, it's negative. It implies you would like to have met more people.
Thanks for clarifying that, Steve. 今天课文讲到 Margaret Knight received little education. 注意这里是说 little education 而不是 a little education. 这两个片语只有一个字母的差别, 但含义完全不同. A little 是有一点, 这是带着正面的含义。 Little表示几乎一点也没有, 这是带着负面的含义。所以这里是说 Margaret Knight 没读过什么书。我们可以再举一个例子, I have a little money, 我有一点钱。但是 I have little money 是说我没什么钱，我的钱根本不够，有等于没有，这是相当负面的含义。Few 跟 a few 也有同样的差别。A few friends came to see him, 有几位朋友来看他，他心里很开心。但如果改成 few friends came to see him, 变成简直没有什么朋友来看他，他很失望。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, gentlemen. Yes, remember the difference between a little and little. As we just learned, Margaret E. Knight received little education and lived at a time women were not expected to accomplish much. Nathaniel, how does our article continue?
Well, the next sentence says, Nevertheless, Knight's intelligence, effort, and persistence enabled her to invent many devices with great significance for her own time and for our lives today.
That's right. And we see this word at the beginning of that sentence, nevertheless. I think this is a good word to talk about because it's kind of a joining word. It joins two ideas. It kind of means even so or despite these things. So despite her little education and the idea that women couldn't accomplish much, she still did something. Nevertheless. Carolyn, how do you use that word, nevertheless?
Well, if you want to think of an example for nevertheless, maybe you really don't want to do a project,、mm-hmm. but you have to do it. So despite the fact that I don't want to do this project, nevertheless, I have to.
All right. Nevertheless, I had to. It was a rainy day and my best friend couldn't join me. Nevertheless, I enjoyed my time at the beach. So there's things that maybe...make you upset, but nevertheless, you still want to enjoy your time. Well, nevertheless, Knight's intelligence, effort, and persistence enabled her to invent many devices with great significance. And we see another key word here from the word bank. It is that word persistence. If you have persistence, that means you don't give up. Maybe you try one time, two times, three times, many times, and you persist. You keep going.You don't give up. She had persistence. Nathaniel, how else could you use that word persistence?
Well, if you ask something with persistence, you may eventually get what you're asking for. In most cases, people will give you what you want if you don't leave them alone.
All right, that's a good example. Do you ask with persistence? Do you really want to know something? Or maybe you just give up after a while. If you give up,That's not persisting. You don't have persistence in something. Of course, it is good to have persistence when you want to accomplish something important. Persist. Don't give up. Well, you're doing a great job today. Thanks for persisting with us. And now it's time to learn something different in the Language Lab.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点我们来看的是 ingenuity 这个不可数的名词。Ingenuity 是指独创性、别出心裁或者是发明的才能。注意它的重音是在 NU 这个音节念成 ingenuity。我们来看一个例句。We were amazed by the artist's ingenuity. 这位艺术家的创意让我们惊艳。或者是 The girl showed ingenuity in her paintings. 这个女孩的画作展现她的独创性。其实我们看的是 persistence 这个不可数名词。persistence 是指坚持、毅力或者是锲而不舍。例如 the tennis player's persistence and hard work contributed to his success today. 这位网球选手的坚持与努力促成他今天的成功。他的动词是 persist, P-E-R-S-I-S-T, 意思是坚持。对某件事情坚持的话是 persist, 后面加上介系词 in, 再加上名词或者是动名词。例如 ,if you persist in that behavior, I'll take away your computer privileges. 如果你持续这样做,我会拿走你使用电脑的权利。
Well, today we're learning about an individual named Margaret E. Knight, who you may have heard of before. She was very influential in the Industrial Revolution in the United States. She worked, on some very difficult things, especially when it came to factories and textile mills, and we're going to learn some more about her. But For some time, she was underestimated. People did not expect much from her, but we're going to see that she did some very incredible things in the next reading.
Margaret E. Knight. Knight lived during a time when factories were springing up all over the United States, and manufacturing was booming. Her father died when she was 10 years old, so she, like many young women of her day, began working in a textile mill. When she was 12, Knight witnessed an accident in which a component of one of the machines flew off, seriously injuring a worker. Horrified, she determined to devise a way to prevent such accidents in the future. Knight designed a safety feature that would stop the machines if something got caught in them. The device soon became common in textile mills and is still used in some factories to this day.
All right, right here at the beginning we see Knight lived during a time when factories were springing up all over the United States and manufacturing was booming. All right, we see a key word there, or it's a word that I want to talk about anyway. It's the word boom. If something booms, usually that makes me think of a loud noise like thunder or someone's voice. But Carolyn, it's used differently here in the article. What does this mean?
Well, here it means something like successful. Mm-hmm. So the industries were very successful. Manufacturing was booming, means that it was increasing very, very quickly and probably with great force.
All right, so it was booming. Well, Nathaniel, how else could you use that word booming? How do you use that word in today's English?
You know, I think a common expression that we often say is business is booming. It just means that your business is doing very well, you're selling a lot of things, you have a lot of customers. Business is booming.
Business is booming. That is a very common phrase. Remember that. Right now it's time for us to learn something special and different with Liz in the Grammar Gym.
Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. We read in today's article, factories were springing up all over the United States. That's our grammar tip sentence. Our focus today is on the phrase spring up. It means to appear and usually in a very quick way. So today's sentence just means factories were appearing all over the United States within a short period of time. Let's have a look at some more examples. When the park was open to the public, hotels and motels began to spring up nearby. Or, shops and restaurants were springing up along the beach as the place became more popular. So friends, give this phrase a try. And if you have a copy of this month's magazine with you, be sure to check out today's grammar tip section for more example sentences. That's all the time we have for today. This is Liz saying goodbye from the Grammar Gym. See you next time.
Thank you, Liz. As we were saying, businesses were booming, or manufacturing was booming, and factories were springing up all over the United States. We find out that Knight's father died when she was 10 years old, so she, like many young women of her day, began working in a textile mill. And when we see that sentence, someone's day, working in someone's day, that just means her time or her era, her generation, the time period that she was living, her day. But we see something else here. She was working in a textile mill. Nathaniel, can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, think of a textile mill as a factory where maybe something like clothes are made. Not only clothes, maybe towels or blankets or something like that. Those are all made of different textiles. Now, the first textile mill, it has its home in Lowell, Massachusetts. That was the first textile mill in the world.
That was the first textile mill in the world. So probably many people were working there and many more textile mills sprung up. Just like businesses and factories were springing up, textile mills were springing up as well. and she was working in a textile mill. Well, Carolyn, how does our article continue?
It says, when she was 12, Knight witnessed an accident in which a component of one of the machines flew off, seriously injuring a worker. So we see here that a component flew off of the machine. Now, component is a very good word, a key word here that we can talk about. What is a component, Gabe?
Well, it's a part. It's just a fancy word for part. Of course, you can have a component to a machine. There are many different components to a machine, something that you can use. You combine many things to make something bigger, so you have a component of something. So a component fell off of this machine or flew off of this machine, causing a worker to become seriously injured. Wow, that sounds like a really dangerous job to me. But what else can use components? Nathaniel, how else do you use that word component?
Well, a component can basically just mean a piece or a part of anything. You could even refer to a person as a component of a larger group if you wanted to.
All right, so a person, I'm a component of this company. Well, you could also use it to talk about something that you're learning, like an idea. Learning new key words, vocabulary, is a component to learning a new language. It's just one part of learning a new language. Of course, you have to learn the grammar, sentence structure, other things like that. These are all different components to learning a language. While we continue, horrified, she determined to devise a way to prevent such accidents in the future. I see that word there at the beginning, horrified. You can use different emotions to create adjectives, like this word, horrified. She did something. She felt horrible. Horrified. It was a terrible experience. It was like horror. What other words might you be able to use in this way? You can create an adjective to create emotions.
Well, one that is similar to horrified would be terrified. So you have terror, and you are very afraid, so you are terrified, and maybe you are terrified to work in a textile mill. I think it sounds like a very dangerous job.
All right, terrified, horrified. Well, we find out that she determined to devise a way to prevent these things. And there's a word here in this sentence I want to talk about. It is the word devise. You saw another word like it earlier in the lesson, device. One is a verb, devise, with an S. The other is a noun with a C. Nathaniel, how are these words different, devise and device?
Well, you can devise a device. You might say that it takes a talented mind to devise the features of a factory machine. Each of these devices is a new development in the machinery.
All right, so there are different ways to use these words. You can devise something. If you have a talented mind, you devise a plan. Maybe you come up with a strategy for something. You can devise many things. And of course, Knight devised a way to prevent such accidents in the future. Such accidents like this serious injury. Well, Carolyn, how does this article continue?
Well, we go on to see that Knight designed a safety feature that would stop the machines if something got caught in them. And the device soon became common in textile mills and is still used in some factories to this day.
Well, it's pretty incredible the influence that Margaret Knight had on our society today in textile mills and the industries and lots of factories. And of course, we see that she created or designed a safety feature. A safety feature. Well, that's just something that maybe a component that she created to help stop machines when something went wrong. That's a safety feature. Many different things might have safety features. What else might have a safety feature in it, Nathaniel?
Actually, one thing that I think about that they don't have too much of in Asia, but in the United States, we have many lawnmowers. And if you're pushing a lawnmower, you want to get one with a safety feature. You can have a bad accident with a lawnmower, but if your lawnmower has a safety feature, it will stop before it hurts or causes any damage.
All right, that's a good example. Of course, there are many other things that might have safety features. What else has a safety feature? Something that you might use today. Talk about that. Think about that. Talk about it in English. Right now, it's time for us to continue learning something with Michelle in the Language Lab.
OK, 继续我们看的是 textile mill 这个名词。textile 是指纺织或者是纺织品，而 mill 是指工厂，所以 textile mill 是指纺织工厂。例如 Patrick used to work in the textile mill when he was young. Patrick 年轻的时候曾经在纺织工厂工作。会用到 mill 这个名词的还有 a steel mill, S-T-E-E-L, 意思是指铁工厂，或者是 a cotton mill, 棉花工厂。所以我们看的是 component 这个名词。component 是指零件或成分。例如 ,most of the car's components were made in Germany. 这部车的零件大部分都是在德国制造的。或者是 fresh fruit and vegetables are important components of a healthy diet. 新鲜的蔬果是健康饮食的重要成分。And let's get back to the teachers.
Well, the three of us were talking about how amazing Margaret Knight actually is. When she was 12, she started to do some pretty interesting and impressive things. What were you all doing at 12, Carolyn?
Well, when I was 12, I wasn't really working. I was focusing on school and acting in plays, but I did have one job. I was a pet sitter. So when my neighbors went out of town, I would take care of their pets.
All right. You were a pet sitter? You mentioned acting. You were in plays. I was actually doing a little bit of acting in plays, too, at school. But I wasn't inventing things or creating new things. I wasn't ingenious like Margaret E. Knight.I was just concerned with hanging out with my friends and trying to get my homework done.
And what were you doing at 12 years old? Well, we hope that you're interested in Margaret Knight because the next 2 days' lessons are also about her. And we hope that we see you tomorrow at Studio Classroom.
Goodbye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain.Chapter 11, Hidden Treasure. Tom was a hero in the village. His days were proud days, but his nights were times of great fear. Injun Joe made his dreams terrible, and he went out at night, if he had to do so, in a state of endless fright.